We rise. Grace, mercy, and truth to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We consider the word of the Lord, which comes from John chapter 15, beginning at verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. You may be seated. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear fellow sinners in need of help. Help! I need someone. Help! Not just anyone. Help! You know I need someone. Help! These are the words of that 1965 number one hit by the Beatles. But they're also the words that we sing today as we realize how greatly in need we are of help. We need someone, but not just anyone. We need help. Jesus sends it, and we get it. If you've ever known much of children, you can probably recall the statement, "I can do it myself." I've heard of parents talk about how children that act this way at a young age, it usually doesn't go away as they get older. And so also us as adults, too, in our own ways, are often saying, "I can do it myself." We find a sense of our spiritual dilemma. In need of help by nature, and yet never wanting to ask for it. Jesus spoke concerning the religious leaders of his day. "Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a ditch." We need help. It's not often until old age that we really fully realize how much in need of help we really are. Come down to the nursing home for one of our services and you'll see people in need of help. You'll see dependency, that utter helplessness, but not by their own choice, by necessity. Because if we had it our way, we would not ask for dependency. How many of you within a marriage can recall those times you knew your spouse was right, but you refused to admit it? "I don't need to stop and ask for directions. We'll get there." Instructions? Who needs to use instructions? Or, I know I told him or her about that appointment. Or did I? Think of all the ways we do much the same thing toward God. I can do it myself. If I need to rely on God, it is going to mean that I owe him something, isn't it? And so many of us do not like to be indebted to someone else for help. The reality is, we don't really realize how greatly indebted we already are. Reason is too rational to see it. After all, sin can't really be that bad when it comes so naturally to us. We read verse 8. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. One common philosophy that I've heard is, do your best. This is the thinking that God's final judgment will be based on doing the best you can. However, notice how inconsistent it is if we try to hold to this, because simply referring to the best sets a status higher than any of us have ever reached, because it's the best. The Spirit is here called by Jesus, the Helper. He brings to us what we could have never found on our own. He doesn't bring a random do your best sort of philosophy where God randomly picks and chooses who he's going to accept into heaven. No, he convicts of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He brings not do your best, but he brings do God's best. We just simply can't trust our rationale when it comes to sin, because our flesh will always try to make sin seem like something less than what it really is. God places a standard of the best. As we read from Romans, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. We need help. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So Jesus answers this call for help even when we're not asking for it. And he sends the Helper, the Holy Spirit. That word helper in the Greek is paraclete. It pictures a legal idea, one who goes between. It could be translated advocate, intercessor. It's one who appears on another one's behalf. So we see in our verse 26, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Jesus has promised not to leave us orphans. Think of how frightening this would have been for those apostles to which he speaks originally. They've been with Jesus from the beginning, as it says in verse 27. They've seen him die, their Lord, the promised one. And in the midst of all their sorrow, then he rose to life. Here is their victorious Savior, and now he says, I'm leaving. Verse 6, because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. How often we too are filled with sorrow, thinking, where is Jesus? Where is the one who says he lives and reigns over all things, who promised to be with us to the end of the age, who said he'll never leave us orphans? We often feel alone in this world. But notice how Jesus kept his promise in Acts chapter 2, which we read from our scripture reading. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So those who stood by said, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Jesus had ascended, and yet he still remained. This is the work of the Spirit. It is to unite earth and heaven. It's to forge a pathway from us human beings to God so that his truths can come to us, so he can reveal who he is and what he's done for us, his wonderful works. Some teach that the Holy Spirit is going to be found within you. You need to look deeply within yourself. Through prayer and dedication and seeking God, you'll find what God wants for you in this world. Well, Jesus says in verse 26, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, he will testify of me. In verse 13, he will guide you into all truth. God did promise to send his Spirit into people's hearts. He did this firstly with the Old Testament prophets, causing them to speak the word of the Lord. And he did it also with his apostles in a miraculous way before the New Testament was written, causing them to know these truths, to remember all things. As Peter says, prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We have the testimony of the Spirit. Not out of thin air into our hearts, because God never promised that, but in his word, as he promised through his disciples. When they performed signs or spoke in other languages, it was never to draw glory to themselves. It was always for one purpose. As Mark says, they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. The goal of Pentecost was to confirm the word. The goal of them speaking in miraculously in other languages was to confirm the word. Because this is where Jesus is going to live and remain among his people to this day. It's going to be in his word. Jesus says in verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. We don't have to wonder about the do your best philosophy or what's right or what's wrong, because here, the Spirit unfolds the things of God, Jesus. As Paul says to Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed. Jesus sends the help we need. Oh, now I get it. Maybe you can remember, either as a student or if you've ever been a teacher, when you finally get it. I've been meeting with an individual at the nursing home for about the last 4 weeks. His name is Richard. We've been studying the book of Romans. And I quickly picked up that he's a pretty intelligent guy. He seems to know a lot about philosophy. He's a good reasoner. And so I had this whole plan mapped out of how I would present a logical argument of why Christianity is so believable. It wasn't too long when Richard said, boy, Pastor, all the things you're saying are just going over my head. I can't grasp them. I soon realized it wasn't going to be up to my theological arguments to convince Richard of the truths of God. It was going to be the work of the Spirit. So I began then, beginning with Romans chapter 1, just sharing with him the very simple truths of what sin is and what salvation is. Verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Richard got it. That word guide pictures you being led to a desired destination. It's the same word Jesus used when he spoke of the blind leading the blind, only now he uses it to spoke of the open eyes of the Holy Spirit opening your eyes to see what can't be seen. Now that Richard saw the full extent of sin, he was able to see the full extent of Christ's payment, which is really what it's all about. And he even said, oh, that's what all that discouraging talk was all about. As I went on about the law and sin and all the wrong that we've done in this world, he understood that contrast, because you'll never see the glory of what Christ has done if you don't fully see the weight of sin, as is only revealed in the scripture. Paul says in Colossians, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us to the kingdom of the Son of his love. in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Notice what convicts in verse 9. I will convict the world of sin. Of sin because they do not believe in me. We all have sin. What convicts us is not sin alone. That's not what convicts us of lack of righteousness, lack of judgment in the end. It's believing in Jesus or not believing. That's where we are delivered from the kingdom of the power of darkness to the kingdom of his Son of his love. That is where God brings to us that debt completely wiped out. All sins forgiven. After all, everything comes at a price, and this was no different. But the price was not yours to pay because you never could. The price was Jesus's to pay. It was laid on his account. The Spirit takes of what is his and gives it to you. But it's no help like the world gives. It's a help totally unexpected. For instance, you can hardly ask your neighbor to come over and help re-shingle your roof without also expecting him at a later time to ask you to come into his basement and haul out some really heavy item. There's always a give and take in this world. And yet, God does not act like that. The help that he gives is not to put you into debt. It's not to expect a favor in return. He does it completely freely out of love. And so the good we do in this world, when we get it, is not on the basis of trying to earn or make up or satisfy God. We already have that. We're set free from the demands of the law, and the Spirit brings this to us. As he says in Romans, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Free. It's like a chain reaction. The Spirit guides the apostles to write down God's word, which then guides you in your life. Who's going to be the next link? A family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor? Pentecost is all about that next link in the message of God's Spirit. And remember how that great mind like Richard's was not convinced on the basis of logical, rational, well-thought-out arguments. It was on the basis of that simple gospel message. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Help. We need somebody. Not just anybody. Thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Helper has come. And he's here for us every time we open up God's Word. We need it. Jesus sent it. And we've got it. Amen.